This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational. No. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a asshole.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcasts. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning. 7:06.
Always my favorite one.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning. Cloudy skies for today. Temperatures staying in the low to mid-40s.
All right, we got a couple of big stories here. You know, we don't really have one big story, but there are just a whole bunch of them this time around.
Right.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of the big stories. She said she will expose sexual harassment claims against Republicans if Gates' report is released.
Okay.
So that is not a good thing, right? She warned that if we're going to release ethics reports and rip apart our own that Trump has appointed, she will put it all out there.
Oh, no.
I think this is like the buried headline of some sort because, yes, all the ethics she's saying this, yes, all the ethics reports and claims, including the one I filed, Greene wrote, all your sexual harassment and assault claims that were secretly settled, paying off victims with taxpayer money. Who knew all of this was happening? I think, well, wow, this is like a late-breaking story, folks.
Huge.
We're missing this one.
I wonder how many reports there
exactly
are.
Exactly. How many people is she familiar with in Congress that had this kind of problem paying off victims with taxpayer money?
This almost seems like an extortion attempt.
Well, would be, sure.
Jeez.
Now, you would think that maybe people would be on this thing and really kind of saying, okay, well, you've opened this can of worms. Tell us more.
Yeah.
The buried headline. My God.
I wonder, yeah.
Is this
what's
worth
next?
Hitting the media fan, you think?
Mm.
Huh? Does this expose MAGAs as sexual predators, the ones they supposedly want to protect us from?
Mm.
Hmm?
Hmm.
Is this a bombshell?
Sounds like it. Sounds like a pretty big deal.
Admitted by one of the dumbest representatives in the House. Oops, did I say that? Come on, folks. This is huge.
It is. What will happen
next?
I
know. We got to look into this. I hope somebody takes a look at what's going on in Congress to find out what's happening with sexual harassment and whatever else that they have to pay the victims off for.
Exactly.
I mean, this is crazy stuff.
Well, there was just a headline on CNN, J.D. Vance is going to Capitol Hill. He's going to straighten it all out. He's going to figure it all out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Work his magic.
Well, of course.
My God.
Oh, man, I tell you.
That's a huge story.
I would think it would be, you know. We got to kind of follow that one somewhere along the way. You know, we miss that.
Well, it's because he keeps announcing all these strange cabinet picks.
Yeah.
You know, that distracts us from some of the other bombshells that are out there.
Exactly.
Linda McMahon as education secretary. Come on.
Oh,
Linda McMahon. From the WWE.
Of course, she's always talked about education. I don't know what the hell is that all about?
She would
right?
stop the wrestling matches right in the middle and to talk about education to the crowd.
Yes,
you know,
she
those
would.
Were the, those were the days.
She's always been a big advocate of education.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Dr. Oz taking care of Medicare now.
Dr. Oz.
Turn it right over. What do we got?
Should we talk about Dr. Oz?
Do we have Sam's pointing us to a text here. What does it say, Sam? You can read it.
You were talking about Matt Gaetz yesterday and
right.
all of his allegations, but 1701 texts in says Madison Cawthorn, which I believe is the person who came out with some of those allegations was telling the truth about drug-fueled orgies.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Is that part of the Matt Gaetz
stuff? Madison Cawthorn was the guy in the wheelchair. He didn't win re-election.
Oh.
But, yeah, he was always talking about the drug-fueled orgies.
Okay.
And they thought he was crazy and just, you know, yeah, they drummed him out.
Right.
Didn't win re-election, but, yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe. Seems like it was right after all, huh?
Well, maybe that's some of what Marjorie Taylor Greene was.
Let's touch on Dr. Oz.
Okay. We got Todd or Billy on the line.
Oh, we do.
Here. You
okay,
want to go to
no,
that first?
Let's go to Todd or Billy first.
Let's
maybe
go to the phone
come up
lines
with a decision on what name to use eventually.
Good morning, Todd or Billy.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey.
I've just been reflecting on you know, what Trump hath wrought in general, and this story about Marjorie Taylor Greene brings it to mind. You know, I don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I wasn't old enough to vote, but I didn't like Ronald Reagan. I didn't like George W. Bush. But the difference with Trump in 2024, mm-hmm, probably even different than 2016, is that Trump has made me not like his voters. Like, that's a different step, right? I really didn't like Reagan, but that didn't mean that Republican voters were people that I couldn't deal with. But if you voted for Trump, I don't like you. And that's where he's brought our country.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, you're just appeasing this individual. And that's all you're doing. You're part of the problem. And I agree to some extent, even though I have a former best friend in Milwaukee who is a cultist. You know, that's the way it goes.
You still talk to him?
Yeah, I do.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
how's
know,
he doing so far?
Here's the thing about him is yeah, that he can separate his cult magic with our own personal lives,
yeah,
the ones we knew as younger individuals.
Right.
So he talks about the old times and old friends and people he's talked to recently that were old friends of ours.
Sure.
But we separate that from mm-hmm the politics.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd or Billy, for that call. We got another call here.
Right,
Dick is on the
check
line.
Check in with Dick. Go ahead, Dick.
Good morning, Dick.
You know, I think all of this is adding up to a midterm that we're going to have a presidential election again because the whole government is going to collapse. So I'm seeing Putin Gabber 2026.
2026. Could happen.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, it could be. You know, these people aren't going away. You know, once Trump is done.
No, they're not.
They're going to be there. Yeah.
That's
but
it.
Is Green going to bring up her own affair with the guy at the gym too?
Who Maybe. Knows? I think it's a huge story. You know, saying that this is rampant in Congress. Well, okay.
Yeah.
But,
tell us
you know,
more.
There's still room.
Yeah.
There's still room for Kyle Rittenhouse, like I told you yesterday.
You are so right. You are so right.
All right.
I'm waiting for that name to drop.
Yeah. Thank you.
All
Dick.
Right.
We got a text here. Sorry, John, your Milwaukee friend is an idiot. Okay. another text here says this is what America gets for electing a reality TV something, and he will become known as the reality TV president. Yeah, I think he's already
yep
there.
Yep, he is there. All let's right, let's go to Dr. Oz
That's
here.
That's probably why he wants to get Sean Duffy in his cabinet now.
Oh,
it's TV people, right?
Yeah, that's it. Just get the TV people in there, run of the show. Okay. Just
so anyway,
like The Apprentice.
During the COVID pandemic, Dr. Oz made a startling comment. Now he is in charge or will be in charge of Medicare and Medicaid. Okay.
All right.
So you want this guy to be in charge of something like that, of seniors' health care and people who need help medically who can't afford it. These are low-income individuals, okay?
Yeah,
so you want Dr. Oz to be in charge of that.
Yeah.
After listening to his point of view during COVID about young children and getting the vaccine, let's check this out. This is unbelievable.
Dr. Oz, help us. Well, first, we need our mojo back. Let's start with things that are really critical to the nation where we think we might be able to open without getting into a lot of trouble. I tell you, schools are a very appetizing opportunity. I just saw a nice piece in The Lancet arguing that the opening of schools may only cost us 2 to 3% in terms of total mortality. And, you know, that's any life is a life lost. But to get every child back into a school where they're safely being educated, being fed, and making the most out of their lives with a theoretical risk in the backside, it might be a trade-off some folks would consider. We need to get industry back, supply lines. I mean, things that we can do without putting the nation at risk.
Yeah, that's right. So he's okay with 2 to 3% of children dying so they can open the schools again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what a great plan. What a great person to put in charge of Medicare and Medicaid.
He's going
to
help us.
Right?
Dr. Oz.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. This is also another big story, and this is right here in Wisconsin. This has to do with our Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they heard arguments about Megan Wolf, the elections official, that the Republicans want to kick out.
Right.
Well, now, why would they want to kick her out?
Well,
because they call her woke. They think she's liberal. So who would they replace her with? I think somebody that is conservative, more like them, right?
Yeah, like who?
No, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the court is taking this up. And here is... do we have anything on this? I suppose not.
We do have a cut. We don't have time for it.
Oh, we don't?
Oh, man.
How do we not have time for that cut?
We got 2 minutes. I don't know what you want me to tell you. We got another text here.
Yeah.
Kyle Rittenhouse, if he's in the administration, he's going to head up the ATF.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
That's a great idea.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's perfect.
Will you bring his mom with him, too?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see if we can't get the Wisconsin Supreme Court controversy over kicking this person out because they don't have anybody to fill that position.
Really?
Yeah. And Republicans are arguing that because the Democrats are holding up this position, they want to put somebody else in there.
Yeah, so give us a little background on what exactly is happening. It's sort of the thing that happened with the DNR leader, correct?
Yes, exactly the same thing the Repubs did. The same damn thing with that DNR individual who wouldn't leave office. His term had run out, but they wouldn't nominate another person for it, somebody that Governor Evers wanted to put in that position, and they wouldn't nominate that person. They wouldn't review him and put him in place because they could hold up everything that Evers wanted to do with the DNR to move the state forward. And now they're making an argument saying, well, you know, Megan Wolf should be out of there because her term is ended, and we'd like to nominate somebody, but the Democrats are holding it up, just like the Republicans held up the nomination for the DNR person. Mm. So anyway, that is what's going on in the Supreme Court. I guess we could have run that cut 1,000 times
in this spot.
Oh, God.
Okay.
But anyway... we'll get to that cut.
We will get to it.
Because it's really interesting to hear the Supreme Court justices argue this thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's the good part.
Well, hang on to that. We'll get to it. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Side or online at Verlo.com. Coming up, we're talking to Beth Johnson from the Holiday Art Market.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning overlooking State Street.
Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of slow today.
A little cloudy out there.
BRTs, they move so quickly that
I
don't know how many pedestrians have been killed so far.
We're tracking that, but so far, so good. Just in case. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we're welcoming Beth Johnson into the studio. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
We're glad to have you here to tell us about the Holiday Art Market, which is happening December 7th and 8th in Middleton, right?
Yes. It certainly is. The Holiday Art Market is a benefit for Way Forward Resources. It ultimately will provide support to provide security for food and housing stability in our local area.
Is this the first year or has this been going on for a while?
The holiday art market has been going on at least 10 years.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
For some people, kind of a kickoff to the holiday season. They won't dare miss it.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun. You're going to have like 50 local artists, right?
We have a lot going on that weekend. So, yes, we have 50 artists plus. A lot of them are local artists. We also have many, many door prizes. A visit with Santa will be on Saturday from 12 to 2:30. There's an area for holiday baked goods and DIY, do-it-yourself gift tags. One of the highlights of the show is the holiday gift to go baskets or to go boxes, which are little tote boxes filled with trinkets and holiday cheer. And they are sold, and the proceeds of those boxes come back to Way Forward Resources to again support food security and housing stability in our area.
Okay. So it's not it's not a good thing when you spill the holiday cheer all over everything. It's
what are you talking about?
Well, it's in the gift box. That's you don't want to.
Be careful.
You don't want to lose the holiday.
Spirit. So, Beth, tell us a little bit more about Way Forward.
Yeah, has it always been Way Forward?
So, Way Forward Resources was formerly Middleton Outreach Ministry for about 40 years. We rebranded about a year and a half ago. We are Way Forward Resources now.
Yes.
Formerly Middleton Outreach Ministry. And we offer food security and housing stability programs for the local area. We have one of the largest food pantries in Dane County, open to all Dane County residents. And the housing stability services is specifically for the Middleton, Cross Plains, and West Madison area. In that program, we provide case management, referrals, and housing stability assistance so that people do not have to face the trauma of homelessness. Last year, about 729 households, I guess that's an exact number, 729 households received direct assistance from us last year for housing assistance.
You help them avoid eviction.
Excellent. That is the goal. Right? We want to avoid eviction. That is our space, yes.
Especially this time of year. But now there's another thing that I wanted to find out about, these remits. Tell me about the remits.
Yes, absolutely.
What are these?
Remits is a nonprofit in our area that upcycles wool into mittens that are available at many places around the county, but specifically at the Holiday Art Market for a $40 donation. 100% of the proceeds of remits go to food pantries, and that organization has raised nearly or more than $875,000 since 2009.
Wow.
It's a lot of money from upcycled wool.
It is. It's amazing.
Upcycling wool to feed hungry people.
Now, let's go back to the gift-to-go boxes.
You bet.
What's in these exactly?
The holiday cheer.
Yeah,
cheer. You've got, gadgets and gizmos and trinkets and this.
Trinkets and surprises.
Treats.
Like a springy peanut.
Like stocking stuffers.
Just jumps right out.
Okay.
It's like stocking stuffers, and the kicker is each one has a $25 gift card to use. So people pay $25, but the value is at least $30.
Okay.
So it's a bonus. People wait in line to get them.
Now, John and Gordy will be there. We're going to have a booth, and we've got our own holiday cheer to add to the story.
Yeah, we do.
We've got our own. They're like ornaments that have our name on them, but they also double as stress balls.
That's
these stress balls when you get stressed out?
You got it.
We've got those, John and Gordy.
We have those.
Stress balls.
Yes.
And we're going to be giving those out.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
You're going to join the festive and the fun.
Okay. You can put a little hook on them and put them on the tree, too. Right?
Yes,
little
you can.
I think
what
we should do at the station is get a Christmas tree here and dedicate it just with John and Gordy's stress balls.
That's it. Yeah, we're going to set it right up here.
I thought you were going to say one of you were going to make the appearance as Santa Claus.
Well, no.
That's not going to happen.
What are you talking about? The real Santa Claus will be there.
Yeah,
Sam.
The real one.
Come
John,
on.
You should bring your kids. They can sit on his lap, tell them what they want for Christmas.
Well, they're 6'4 now, but...
in their 20s, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds like a great time, and it takes place 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 3. So a little bit shorter on Sunday. Both days will be very busy with lots going on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you guys helped me out a lot. Yeah, we had an overabundance in our garden, and we took some of our butternut squash to the pantry. A drop-off point, yes. And it was just it was great. It took a load off our wagon. Mm. So thank you.
So Beth, if people want to find out more, I mean, yeah, it's really December 6th or 7th and 8th.
You're looking for donations as well, so yeah. Always looking for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Donations can be dropped off at Way Forward Resources any day of the week, Monday through mm-hmm. Friday, 9 to 4 is a good time to drop off donations. Thank you for the produce, yeah. Very helpful during the summer months and into winter months. Really, any food that goes on the shelves is received gracefully and gratefully, so... Mm-hmm. Keep the donations coming. We need them.
And these artists that are going to be there, the 50 artists or more,
yes.
They're all local, right?
Many of them, if not all of them, are local, yes. And some show just at our event. Mm. They prepare and show just at our event. Some of the vendors are nonprofits themselves, so it's a 2-for-1.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is indoors.
It is all indoors. Okay. Cozy and warm.
That's at 2551 Parmenter Street, the Holiday Art Market, December 7th and 8th, and John and Gordy will be there too. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't
it
wait.
It is. It
good
is.
Good times.
Right down the street from where I live.
Yeah, so it's easy for you. Yeah. Just stroll down there and bring the kids. Bring the whole family. All right, thank you again, Beth.
All right. Thanks for having us. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 7:28, back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Start your day early at 6 with John and Gordy in the Morning and stick around for me up next.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Always follows us here on 92.7 WMDX.
You know, she wanted us to go out on stage with her and Sexy at, liberal
at the Barrymore
concert, but
we were busy.
We left it up to them. We wanted the spotlight to be on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just made that up.
It's 7:35 now on the dot, and look who's here. It's Mike McCabe. Good morning, Mike.
Yes.
Good morning. It's
Wednesday, so you are here. And we appreciate that.
Good to be here.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, it's a great, great intro.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Oh, wait. No.
Well, last week we got caught up in a different topic, but we really wanted to at least last week go to what you were talking about many times before earlier on this program, and it's called the fourth turning. And because that is something that will hopefully give people some hope in the future, even though there is a long journey before that, right? Let's get to the topic itself. What is the fourth turning?
It's based on a book, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a book called The Fourth Turning. And right now it has special relevance.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about it before. We've talked about it even on the show before, maybe a year ago or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it has particular relevance now. When people are trying to make sense out of what just happened, and they're trying to make sense of what is happening every day now with all the appointments that the
crazy
the president's making,
right.
Crazy appointments. Yeah, it's like assembling a reality TV.
That's what it is.
With former
TV hosts.
Yeah, they're casting.
Yeah,
but when people are trying to make sense out of this, I think the temptation is just to focus on the latest post-mortem that's out on the election or somebody's autopsy of what happened and how how the patient died. But actually, I think history, the longer sweep of history is where you need to turn. And there is this wonderful book that was written called The Fourth Turning. And I would actually recommend another book as well. It's called The Upswing. And both of these books really show the same thing, is that history is cyclical. And there's a very, very identifiable pattern to history. And it repeats. And it repeats like clockwork. And there's these cycles that happen, and they're roughly a lifetime long.
Right.
We're talking about an 80 to 100 year cycle.
Mm.
And that, you know, the Fourth Turning authors said that that kind of easily divides into four pieces, which are each about a generation long, 20 to 25 years,
mm-hmm.
that this cycle will happen. And they call them turnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a first, second, third, and fourth turning. It's happened three times through American history already. And
so it's proven itself at this point.
It's been this very identifiable pattern. Mm-hmm. And one culminated in the American Revolution. Another culminated around the Civil War and then Reconstruction after that. The next one culminated at the cataclysm of the Great Depression and then World War II. And then the post-war boom came. And we have gone through three more cycles, three turnings, and we are smack dab in the middle of a fourth turning. Again, one of the two authors of the fourth turning has passed away. The other wrote an update in 2023 and said, you know, what if history is a good measure, and it does seem to be showing us the way, we're going to see all of this, this fourth turning that we're in right now, really come to a climax in the early 2030s.
Right.
And what happens is
I can't wait.
What's
going to happen?
But think about what's happened before in each one of these cycles. You know, you go from a society being very cohesive and unified to people starting to think, well, I want a little bit more personal autonomy. I'm kind of, you know, there's a little bit too much conformity for my taste. And pretty soon institutions start to be distrusted. And all of a sudden it you know, society kind of comes apart at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
And it results in something like the American Revolution or the Civil War or the Great Depression and then World War II. But after each one of those things happens, then there's a sort of a rebirth. And we go from being a me society back to a we society. And institutions are sort of rebuilt, and social cohesiveness sort of comes back. It returns.
Yep.
And then you are on that sort of high of social togetherness, and society really surges, and tremendous progress is made. And think about the last fourth turning.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the trauma of the Great Depression and then World War II. But then in the post-war era, that was really the golden age of America, right?
Right, exactly.
And after the Civil War, there was Reconstruction, and an awful lot of stuff happened that really built a new America. And so fourth turnings are also phoenix moments where you know, sort of out of the ashes comes a rebirth. And the authors say, well, we're pretty much on pace to see, you know, but with fourth turnings comes real trauma. And we are going through that. And I think it's important to realize that, you know, that this has been cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have seen the loss of sort of a we society and the emergence of a me society. And,
right.
And how could that be better manifested than having a certifiable narcissist in the White House?
Oh, absolutely.
Here we are. And these are reflections of our times. And I think if you want to make sense out of what we're going through as a country, you know, don't just obsess over the last post-mortem of this particular election, mm-hmm. but look at the patterns of history, because not only are there answers to be found there, but I think there's also some comfort to be found in the fact that we've gone through these periods before. Mm-hmm. Light has been found at the end of the tunnel, and that actually it, you know, what comes from it can often be a real surge of national development and growth.
It almost seems all accidental, though. I mean, we could have gone, you know, with the Harris Walls campaign.
See, but the thing is that you know, none of these things ever were predictable. The Civil War could have been won by the South,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and the Battle of Gettysburg could have gone either way, and that was a really pivotal battle. If a few things had happened, if a few generals had behaved differently, that battle could have turned out differently, and that could have swung the war. But if the Civil War had been won by the South, would we still have two different countries? Would we have two separate countries? And would slavery still be an institution in America? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, it just would have played out differently. But the cataclysm still would have happened, yeah. And something, there would have been some kind of rebirth after that. So, yeah, this election could have gone either way. It was that close.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we are not in this period where our institutions have grown weak and distrusted almost to the point where people are dismissive of them. They don't trust them.
Exactly.
They don't want them. They want them sort of burned to the ground.
Yeah.
We are in a very narcissistic point in it's a very me-oriented society. You see all the signs that existed before during fourth turnings.
Talking with Mike McCabe here about this, the book, everything you're talking about is based on this book, The Fourth Turning, by William Strauss and Neil Howe. But is this just an American phenomena that they're talking? I mean, they're focused on American history with this book, but it seems like the whole world is going through chaos right now. I mean, you know, on the edge all around the world.
Does it have something to do with the U.S. being the superpower and kind of the center focus of the economies?
I think it has a lot to do with human nature.
Okay.
Americans are humans, and Europeans are humans, and it has a lot to do with human nature, and it has a lot to do with generational change. One generation learns from another generation, and some of what they learn is that I don't want to repeat their mistakes. I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
Now there are some societies out there where there isn't such a noticeable generation gap, and as a result, there aren't these, you know,
upheavals
the way you see it in some countries. But you're right, Gordy.
Yeah.
This is happening globally. We can't be arrogant enough to think that America is operating in a vacuum and what happens here is totally an American phenomenon. Yes, they looked at American history. They didn't look at global history. But it doesn't take a lot of imagination to realize that these are human patterns,
mm-hmm.
and it's generational. I don't think there's an accident that each cycle is roughly a generation long.
Right.
And then it all happens over the course of roughly a human lifetime. And part of the reason that we keep repeating ourselves is that we're mortal, we live a human lifetime. I wasn't alive during the Great Depression or World War II. And I certainly wasn't alive during the Civil War. So none of us alive today has gone through this before.
Right. Now, way back when, in the 60s, I think it was, maybe we had a song about history repeating itself. I don't know if you remember this, but...
What song was that? You remember?
It was called History Repeats Itself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good catchy title. But,
yeah, it's a catchy title. And I think we all kind of discounted it at that point. You know, it got old. Yeah, okay, it hit. Yeah, not really. You know, we didn't believe it. And what I'm getting at here is the importance of this particular book, the ideas in this book. I don't think we should give short shrift to the idea that history does repeat itself. And I'm almost shocked that something as important as this, which is historically proven, is not talked about, is not brought up often enough, so at least we can understand what is happening to society and to the cycle of politics that we're going through right now.
Yeah, and actually reading this book and the other one that I mentioned, The Upswing,
yeah.
It actually makes you feel better about mm-hmm. what we're going through because you realize, you know, American society has gone through periods like this before and then something brand new emerged from it. So we're not going to be stuck in 2024 forever.
Right.
You know, what we're going through right now, and for a lot of your listeners, these next 4 years are going to be a painful ordeal. But we're not going to be stuck in that forever. And that's what history teaches us, is that something comes after, and it's actually pretty predictable what comes, mm-hmm. what comes next. There will be a social rebirth. And you know, unless we break that cycle, unless we do something that defies that rhythm of history, there's going to be something that comes after this, and it usually is pretty special.
Right.
And that's the hopeful part of this book. And I just think it can make you, it helps me make sense of the nonsense that we're living through. But it also, there's also a part of that history that is comforting. Because there's something exciting that is about to happen,
right.
out of this phoenix moment where things mm-hmm. appear to be sort of disintegrating to ash, right?
Yeah,
yes,
basically.
We're seeing it every day. Yeah, reporting on it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and that brings up the idea that you know, we oftentimes criticize the mega for voting the way they did. And I've often said, and I still think this is true, I think they wanted a strong man to kind of reassure them because they've lost faith in the news media and they don't have a source anymore. So they need some strong man to say, everything's okay. I've got control of this. Don't worry. I've got your back.
You know what has happened at each fourth turning is there's an upsurge in the number of people who talk about the end times because they see the fourth turning as the end.
Right.
That there's nothing beyond it, that really everything is going to come to an end. Mm. And you're hearing that. I think that that's what motivates a lot of people, is they're looking at the future and they're thinking, man, I think we're doomed.
Yeah. Right.
Aliens are coming. They're going to take us all away, along with Elon Musk.
And that's what's comforting about something like a fourth turning, is that there's something that comes after this.
Right.
And it actually can be a really exciting
Now, if
rebirth.
We can survive, you know, the administration that is being proposed, you know,
there's light at the end of the tunnel.
We've got to make it through that. Yes, I don't know how that's going to work out. You know, no education. People aren't going to learn anything. They're not going to believe the
news
anymore.
And people had to make it through the Civil War and the Great Depression and everything else.
All of that. Yeah.
All right. We will continue our conversation here with Mike McCabe in just a moment. Just got a report. East Washington is backed up on near East High School for a train. So that's what that's all about. Okay?
Good timing.
All right. Coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ow! Ow! Woo! Shred that!
92.7 WMDX.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com. We're back with Mike McCabe.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the upswing. Let's. We haven't really touched on the subject matter in that. What's that all about?
Well, you know, Bob Putnam wrote a book called Bowling Alone, which basically showed how, you know, social institutions were crumbling and, you know, how people used to go bowling together.
Mm-hmm.
And as the title implied, you know, now people would go bowling alone, or they stopped belonging to clubs, like
yeah.
Rotary clubs or Kiwanis clubs. They just stopped. There was an erosion of what Putnam called social capital. He looked at a single generation.
What generation was he looking at when it broke up?
He was looking at sort of the high tide of social cohesion in the 1950s and then into the 1960s.
Okay, got it.
And
yeah.
And he basically thought that the Reagan Revolution was the moment when we went from being a we society to a me society.
Yeah.
Well, then he teamed up with a colleague, Shailen Romney, and they wrote this book called The Upswing, and they didn't look at a single generation. They looked at 125 years of American history. Mm-hmm. So they took a wider look, much like the authors of The Fourth Turning did. And what they found was there was this predictable rhythm that we would go from being a we society to a me society, back to a we society, back to a me society.
Wow.
And it was, it, you know, there was this predictable, and they looked at everything from economic measuring sticks to social measures to baby naming. They looked in the sports world. They looked at all these different metrics, and there was this same sort of an inverted U when they charted it on a graph, where we would be in these troughs, kind of me society, then there would be a surge of togetherness and the we society would emerge, and then it would go back down into a trough. And, you know, they are saying that we are in a trough right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as the title implies, we are right near a point where we start an upswing.
All right.
Back up to a time when there will be a lot of
cohesion,
of social cohesion.
Yeah. Progress.
But we are kind of coming apart at the seams. Yeah. And it was fascinating to me that here these very separate books written by different authors were finding the same cyclical nature of,
exactly,
of social behavior. And they also were pinpointing the time when we were gonna bottom out and then when we would start to move in the other direction. The authors of The Fourth Turning said it's going to happen around the early 2030s. And here, Romney and Putnam are saying the same doggone thing, that we're bottoming out here in the 2020s. We are getting as me-oriented as you possibly can be. Public institutions are both distrusted and sort of almost despised, and here, you know, they feel that we're going to be on this precipice of an upswing. So, you know, I really think that if people are struggling to make sense of our current moment, those two books provide such insight and also a little bit of inspiration or hope. But, you know, I know I mean, I have my own book out, so I probably shouldn't be plugging some other authors.
Well, but you can talk about your book.
But these books, I think, are so valuable at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
They have helped me sort of get through this really difficult period, because it just provides such wonderful insight.
Well, you're helping me right now.
Your book, Miracles Along County Q,
yeah,
available now. Great. What a great holiday gift that would be.
All three books.
Yes, I finished
all three books.
Yes, all of your books.
And it's
a great book.
And it certainly,
big thumbs up.
And it certainly does speak to the stuff we're going through in our society right now. But the reason I bring up these two books is that The Fourth Turning and The Upswing.
Upswing.
And, man, they mirror each other, which is fascinating, because they do entirely separate research. They're looking at different factors. They're looking at they use different measuring sticks, and yet come to the same doggone conclusion, which is fascinating.
Let me ask you something about a generational thing, and I don't know if this is true for your family, but we're not a tight-knit family anymore. We don't stay in contact with cousins and family get-togethers anymore, and I'm wondering if that has something to do with this. Well, have you noticed that in your life as well?
That's not isolated to your family, John. That's
that's what I'm asking.
That's an utterly American phenomenon, if not a global one. There's no question that there's, you know, when you're talking about social institutions becoming weak.
Yeah.
You're not just talking about public institutions like government agencies or government programs. You're talking about family structures. You're talking about other social structures. Like Putnam and Romney were writing about.
Right.
You know, people stopped belonging to Kiwanis clubs or Rotary clubs, or they stopped, you know, joining the League of Women Voters.
Bowling leagues.
Bowling leagues have fallen on hard times. And so families get together. There are fewer family reunions. I remember fondly we would go to the Turtle Town Hall and have this big family reunion, and the kids would have the run of the place, and downstairs there was a kitchen and dining space, and it was we filled that place. We filled the town hall with extended family. We don't do that anymore.
Those were the days.
They're coming back.
Yeah,
and it will come back.
The upswing.
Mike McCabe, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Wednesday. Also, our thanks to Beth Johnson from Holiday Art Market for joining us. Tomorrow, Busted Pencils, and also the Rock and Roll Dentist will make a return. Chris Kammer in studio with us, singing some songs.
All right, can't wait.
All good. John?
We'll bring my wife in. She needs some dental work. So.
Bring her in. We'll see what happens. Have a great day. Stephanie Miller is next. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.